Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. This is Karen Morales. Welcome to Momentum Magnet. Today, we're going to talk about branding. One of the biggest questions I'm asked as owner of a marketing agency is what makes a powerful brand? And what are some of the most important things to do and watch out for as you're building your brand in 2021? To have this conversation, I've invited one of my favorite graphic designers and brand strategists, Aaron Fusigna, to talk to us about all things branding. We're going to talk about some of the most important things when it comes to bringing your brand to life online: color palettes, photography, the importance of a website. And she's going to give us her opinion on what are some of the tips and tricks that you should look to do or avoid in 2021. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. It's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, always excited to talk about branding.
Perfect. So Erin has a really interesting past. She's worked in fashion. She's worked in the world of advertising on the strategy side. She's become a graphic designer. And maybe the most impressive thing on her resume is she's also a SoulCycle instructor. So Erin, why don't you talk a little bit about your journey through brand strategy to graphic design?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Thanks for the introduction. So I think that for me, I was really lost when I sort of started my career. In college, I had studied psychology and I got a great education at a great liberal arts school, but I was also a recruited athlete there. So I was a little bit more focused on athletics while I was there than maybe my future. So I had studied psychology and taken a few studio art classes while I was in school, but I had really never had much exposure to creative careers. So I was really lost kind of navigating the job hunt. I ended up my entry-level job, my first job out of college, was at an advertising agency in Boston. I worked on the account management side of things. I thought it would be kind of a good mix of my interest in psychology and consumer behavior and also art. So I worked on the account management, project management side of things for about 5 years. I moved about 3 years into my career to a different agency, but was doing pretty similar things. And my early career, I was working on everything, on brands like Jack Daniels and American Eagle, and even the Truth Campaign and those kind of cool, sexy brands, but even some, I mean, that's sort of what we call in the advertising world, but even some like B2B brands that maybe weren't as sexy. So I had a lot of exposure and a lot of experience and working on a ton of different projects. So filming TV spots and the production that goes into that and photo shoots and social media and strategy. And I really ended up liking the strategy side of things. And so my managers and I were always looking for opportunities for me to be more strategic, but I still sort of ended up feeling a really creatively unfulfilled.
Let's stop there for a minute, because I think something that you said really resonates with me, having spent, you know, my life in big agencies as well, but it's something probably nobody else will understand if they haven't worked in the world of agencies. I mean, maybe if they dove deep into Mad Men, they might get it. But yeah, it's this idea of what makes a sexy brand. And I think for us as ad agency graduates, that idea is brands who really will take risks with their creative to make an emotional connection and are willing to create an experience that goes beyond what is expected and really tries to connect with their end consumer. How do you see that definition of a sexy brand?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that a good example of that is probably a brand like Progressive, which is a brand that is created out of the agency that you and I worked at, but it's insurance. Like, it doesn't get much more boring than that, but it's such a creative brand that's willing to go there and do things that are super memorable. And that's sort of how that whole industry is now. It's so competitive within the marketing space of that, that even a product that's not super sexy, the brand can be really sexy and really resonate with consumers.
Yeah. And that's all because they had a really good consumer insight, right? Progressive knew that people shopped insurance like a commodity because they had to have it. So they had this idea of, what if you wanted to like your insurer? What would that look like? What would that feel like? And that sort of brought out the personification of that personality named Flo. So we've both had interesting experiences in these ad agencies, right? And I think it sounds like our rationale to depart the big agencies was very similar. I mean, I know in my world, it became a little bit challenging, right, to keep that force alive in telling clients what to do and their willingness to actually change behavior or process or how they've gone to market was sometimes blocked by bureaucracy, and you could see their path forward to better, but they weren't really going to align the resources to get there. And for me, that became frustrating. So let's talk about how your kind of departure point came to be.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, which is why when I did depart, I was, like I said, really creatively frustrated, but also for sure frustrated by the fact that I was working on these brands and so invested in these brands, but didn't ultimately, wasn't really the controller of it. So I ended up working in-house I moved to New York City and I worked in-house at a startup fashion technology company. It was called Spring. It was very scrappy, very startup to the point where it doesn't exist anymore, but it was a really cool e-commerce brand. And it was, the target customer was pretty much me. It was a millennial who's very interested in style and fashion and expressing themselves that way. And so, I was in a marketing manager position there, but still I gave it about a year, I was still unhappy. And I was still sort of like, even when I'm working in an industry and working with topics and products that I really like personally, I still am really frustrated. So I kind of took a hard look at what I liked about my jobs that I've had, what kind of roles and what kind of people did I like really working with? What was I most curious about? And as I sort of made that assessment, I really... The common denominator was that I was always looking over the shoulders of the designers. I was always so psyched to work on projects with art directors and collaborate with that. But it felt really frustrating that I was creating all these cool campaigns and cool brands and cool strategies, but then somebody else was executing on it. So the only thing that was holding me back from that was the fact that I just didn't have the computer skills pretty much. I didn't know any of the Adobe programs. So I ended up going back to school part-time. I went to the Shillington School of Graphic Design in Manhattan and it was a full year part-time. And I kind of just said, okay, screw it. I'm going to go back to school and learn the programs. And I graduated from that and quit my job in July of 2019. That was also coinciding with my career shift to becoming a SoulCycle instructor as well. So since then, I've been doing fitness and running my freelance graphic design business together.
And I think that's really what people need to listen to, right? It's always, when you're trying to find your passion, it's always the thing that you feel like you can do better than anyone else. And I love how you said, every time you would get, you know, designs back from the person assigned to do them, you had that nagging feeling of, I would have done this, or I would have done that, or that's not exactly what I wanted to see. And you went after it and chased your dreams. And now, after starting your own freelance practice in little less than a year, you're booked solid. And her designs are beautiful, people.
Really, oh, thank you. Really great. Thank you. Yeah. And not saying that the designs that of my former colleagues weren't beautiful. It was just frustrating for me because it was what I wanted to be doing. And I was sort of holding myself back, sort of convincing myself that, oh, I have to be in this kind of role, even though there's no rules to that. So yeah, I mean, I'm booked. I very much attribute my success in terms of booking clients months in ahead. That's a good indicator for somebody like me. That's a good indicator of success. But I attribute a lot of it to the pandemic because mid-March 2020, gyms closed, and the way I normally and was used to spending my day, which was really, really focused for a while on fitness primarily, I was all of a sudden just sort of, okay, now I have all this time on my hands. I'm going to really dive into my business and dive into design. And since then, I've really grown a lot in the past year, learned a lot in the past year, and it's been for sure a silver lining.
Perfect. Well, that's a great segue into giving people some really solid design and branding tips for 2021. So what do you think, Erin, makes a really powerful brand today in 2021?
I love this question. I really believe in connection and authenticity. I think that especially after the past year, people are craving something real. They're craving authenticity. They're craving that connection. And that's what really, and you, the only way that you really get the connection and the engagement and you can emotionally resonate with your customer is by being really authentic and not trying to be something that you're not as a brand. And so that's why, again, strategy is so important to defining who are you as a brand and how do you behave? What is our personality as a brand? What are our values? What's our tone of voice? And so it's so much more than just your color palette and your logo. It's all of the above.
Yeah, that's really important for people to understand. I think that's something we have lived working and breathing in large ad agencies, working for, you know, billion-dollar brands for years on end. But it's really never about just how you look. It's not what you say, it's what you do. So the really powerful brands live their brand motto day in and day out, and they do that in every customer interaction. And the first impression really does start with the branding, and it's more of the fun things people think about when they talk about a company. What's their color? What's their look? What's their vibe? So when you think about some of those first impression tactics today in 2021, what are some of the design trends that people should be paying attention to?
Design trends in 2021. I think that what I've been seeing a lot of is more color. I think that last year was very neutral and reflective of, I think, just the general mindset and vibe. And that's not to say that that neutrals aren't exciting. I love neutrals. I think tans and beiges are some of my favorite colors. But I think that I'm seeing a lot more color, and I think that that's reflective of this sort of optimism and hope and this playfulness that we have sort of been shielding.
Waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think not necessarily even like oversaturated or super childish, still very sleek and elevated. But and then I think also even just thinking about color from a diversity standpoint, 2021, where you're seeing much more, so many more people of color in the branding that you're seeing. And that's important after the just events of 2020. And I think that color is interpreted in so many ways. So I'm excited to see kind of those trends evolve.
I love that. I love that. And I think you're definitely right. And I think diversity in imagery, I'm also seeing it across diversity in ability and making sure that people with all sorts of different life situations are included in advertising, which is really beautiful. Are there any things that you've noticed or maybe that you had, you know, whether or not you like the side part in the skinny jeans, is there anything in design that you're like, all right, it's time to say adios to this trend?
I think the thing that really bugs a lot of designers is design just for the sake of design. I think that it always reminds me of that, I think it's Coco Chanel phrase where it's like, or the idea of getting dressed and then taking off one accessory and then you're all set. I think that it's very much about,
you're trying too hard. It's that idea that they're just really trying too hard.
Yeah. And I think like specific examples of this is that for a while we were seeing these like abstract shapes and organic shapes that are just kind of added into backgrounds for no apparent reason. And even me as a designer, like I can't figure out what the connection is to strategically include something like that, except for maybe just fluff. So I think that, again, it goes back to authenticity. Sometimes simple is the best way to go. And so being really intentional and careful about that.
I think that's really strong. I mean, we've both had conversations with clients over the last few weeks in multiple different industries about removing too many elements. I think a lot of times when companies are starting out, they think that they have to have a lot of elements in their back pocket. And especially with something as interesting as color that you brought up early, that I've actually seen a lot more with our clients wanting more bold colors in their palette, which is great. But the real use of color should be purposeful, and it should be used to highlight information and to be, you know, a set of breadcrumbs along the way. It's not necessarily like you're designing the room and everything is pink.
Yes. Or yes, exactly.
And that's really the basis, I think, of good design. And one of the easiest analogies for the non-designer in me, designer, to say to clients, to say, well, think about this like a room, right? You want to have that color woven through the room. But if your carpet is pink and your walls are pink and your couch is pink and your vase is pink, it's going to be a little too pink.
Too pink. I'm with you. A pop. I'm a big fan of a pop of pink.
Pop of pink. Yes. Pop of pink is a good idea. So that leads us to the next thing. And I've heard many people talk about this, so I'm really interested to hear your point of view. But what's really more important? Is it color? Is it photography or graphic style? Is it the typography? Is there sort of a hierarchy of importance when you're looking at laying out, you know, a website or a designed piece like a brochure?
That's a question that you're making me pick my favorite child.
I know.
Because they all come together to create a fabulous family.
Well, that's a great answer though. You're saying that it's not so much about them as individuals, it's them in the collective.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I think that if I had to answer that question though, I would probably say photography. Mm-hmm. I think that just goes to say that a beautiful brand can be ruined with bad photography. And I think that when done well and combined with other design elements like the color, like the typography, like the graphic elements, and it can completely transform a user's experience with the brand. And I think that there's a relatability to capturing photography the right way and investing in that.
I would stop right there because I haven't heard someone say that so directly in a while. And it is something that has come up for us on some recent client projects. It's my experience, I'm interested to hear what you have to say, that clients often start with things like color and typography and logo, and photography becomes an afterthought. They go to their, you know, Google Drive archives and say, oh, here's a couple of pictures we have from last year. But I think what you're saying is the artwork almost matters most. And if you're designing a room, which is your website or your brochure, and you don't know what artwork you're putting up, it's going to be a little challenging to pull it all together.
Yes, totally. I think that as humans, which we are humans first, consumers second. As humans, we naturally react to photography. And I think that Instagram is a really great example of just proving how important photography is to people and the success of that and people sharing their own photography. And so it really is important. And that's why it's just as important to invest in that piece when you are developing a brand from the get-go.
Yeah, that is important. So everybody start thinking about your photography, especially as we reemerge from this cocoon that's been 2020. If you're like me, it's almost like 2020 didn't happen because there are no pictures from it. I feel like I have very limited representations of last year.
I'm all set forgetting about this whole year. I don't need time hop memories in a few years about what I was doing in 2020.
No. All right. So I like to play this game. Finish the sentence. Good design is.
Oh my gosh. Is developed to solve a problem.
Beautiful. A strong brand is.
Developed with a story in mind.
Very important. An effective website is
visually driven. People don't read, so don't make your website text heavy.
Very important. An engaging social media is
entertaining, educational, and inspirational. Something that people want to share because it resonates with them and their network.
And something that you probably live every day as a SoulCycle instructor.
Yes.
That's the trifecta, right? Exactly. Yeah. So what is one thing that people building their business or starting from scratch or trying to reshape and refresh their brand, what do they need to stop doing today?
I think I would say stop thinking about your brand as just a logo and thinking that you need to put your logo everywhere. You can develop a brand that is represented by so many different things. And it, as you create your audience and fans of your brand and consumers of your brand, they don't need your logo for reinforcement. And so I think don't rely so much on that.
Oh, that's so good. I think we've both had so many conversations about make the logo bigger or put more text on an image, and often less is more. I mean, I know the example that I always give when in those meetings with clients is, what's better on a dating website? Someone that tells you that they're funny or someone who just is?
Yeah, totally. I saw something today that said good branding is why you would pay $5 for a venti latte and why you know it's Starbucks because I said venti.
Oh, so good. So good. And there's so many positive things about that brand, whether you like it or not. I mean, their ability to create brand recognition with an image, their ability to transform the sizing dialogue by following one of the principles of products, which is give people a small, a medium, and a large, and a mental model they can understand. It's the idea of delivering an experience and making it personal by putting your name on the cup. I mean, they really do check 1,000 boxes whether or not you like their coffee or not.
Totally agree. Yeah.
And the last thing that we'd like to leave our audience with is to make momentum with your brand and business this year. Try this today.
I would say to try investing in your branding by not necessarily thinking about the cost up front, but think about more so the money that you're leaving on the table and without the branding and the how much you can grow your business if you do take a moment to invest in a strong brand, a strategic brand, a beautiful brand, and one that really represents you and your business and your values.
Oh, that's great. And before we give people the ways that they can connect with you if they want to get their website refreshed or their branding looked at, one thing I'd like to leave people with, because I think so many of us know some of the de facto power brands. You know, we always talk about Apple. We talk about Whole Foods. We talk about a lot of these huge behemoths. But are there any interesting startup brands that you use as reference for your more nimble clients that maybe people could poke around at and look at their websites to get a sense of, you know, what a smaller power brand looks like?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. I have so many favorites, but I think one that's coming to mind is Outdoor Voices. That's a brand, women's apparel, athletic apparel brand. And it's built on recreation. Their model isn't necessarily apparel for athletics or fitness. It's apparel for recreation. So whether that's going for a walk, going for a hike, taking a spin class, or just being outside with your dog, it's about doing things, and their motto or their slogan or everything, their value is literally doing things. And so you see that a lot in their branding, and it's very, the photography reflects that. The branding is simple but impactful. And I really like that one.
Great. So go ahead.
The only other one I would say, and this is one that I just always bring up because I think it's so impressive and I'm always so obsessed with it, is Hinge. Their strategy is, we are designed to be deleted. They are so confident in their product that they don't want you as a user. They want you to use their product and then delete their product, which I think is so bold. And like we were saying before, a bold brand is a strong brand.
And that's really important because they're entering really a crowded space. And when they were setting up shop, right, they're probably looking at Bumble as their number one competitor, because Bumble really kind of has captured the more youthful Gen Z, early millennial, or, you know, younger millennial pop culture vibe. So I think that's really interesting to look at how a brand entering a crowded space as a challenger has to pick an insight that truly differentiates themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're almost the opposite of Bumble. And the great thing about that is that, you know, while Bumble expands into you can make friends and you can make business contacts, Hinge is like, that's really BS. Nobody wants a dating app on their phone for the next 20 years. You don't want to make your friends and make your business contacts via a dating app platform. So we're going to go opposite.
I couldn't agree more. I'm all set. I have a LinkedIn for that.
Totally. And that's actually really, really smart, because I do think that, you know, the pinnacle for people who have ever experienced online dating, and literally if you have not experienced online dating, you've missed a total interesting view on life. Right?
You're missing on a huge contribution to culture.
Yeah, total pop culture. But nobobody has ever said I was sad when I deleted my profile. Like literally no one ever. That's a good one. That's a really good one to end on. So if you have had a great time listening today and you have a brand that you're looking to rebrand this year, you want a new look for your logo, your color palette, your website, I want to give you the opportunity to reach out and talk to Erin directly. So go ahead, Erin, and let people know how they can contact you.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is Erin Fusigna Design. It's ErinFusigna Design. And then my website is erinfusigna.com. So I really look forward to hopefully hearing from your listeners. And thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And are you currently doing any classes each week for SoulCycle?
I'm not currently, but I will be back on the schedule at some point this spring.
Yay. All right. Well, we are all looking forward to spring is coming. The color pops are coming back to life. And as always, everybody, thank you for joining us at Momentum Magnet. Our goal every week is to leave you with tips and tricks to put more momentum in your life and business. We love your reviews and your follows and your subscribes. So please go ahead and do that either on iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio, wherever you consume your weekly podcast content. Thanks again, Erin, and everybody have a great day. Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.